Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Because the Word tells us He's not a respecter of person. And what He's done for you, my friend, He will do for me. Not because He's trying to make robots and this person just like this person, but because the opportunities He wants to give look very similar. He wants freedom for you. He wants freedom for me. And it only comes through Christ.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Amen. The Word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
Amen.
You want to hear some of His benefits?
Absolutely.
This is what the psalmist said, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things.
Amen.
So that your youth is renewed as the eagles. Welcome, Truth Seekers. This is David Markham, and I'm excited to have my friend and brother, Chuck Mansell, is in the studio with me today. Chuck, say hello to our listeners.
Hello. It's absolutely great to be here.
Amen. I wanted to bring Chuck in. Some of you may not know, I've got to get some of these ministers that are associated with the ministry in more often, but Chuck is one of the ministers for Truth Infusion Ministry, one of our preachers and teachers, and Lord just blessed him to do a fabulous job in the name of Jesus and for Truth Infusion, and it's just great to be able to partner with you and see what the Lord's doing. So this last week was kind of a special weekend,
right,
a special Sunday morning, because we kind of got to tag team. Church brought us in, kind of a local church in the area, and I got to lead and worship and do some neat things with that, and then you got a chance to preach.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I love to do, Truth Seekers, if you follow the show at all, you know a lot of times that I'll bring a teaching of the sermon that God has recently put on my heart. Perhaps I just finished in a revival or what have you, and I bring that to our listening audience. And so that's what I wanted you to do today, Chuck, is, and maybe even a couple of weeks to come, is we'll just see how God lays out this topic and some of this information. But God put a, man, I just want to tell you, and this ain't about you, this is about Jesus.
Absolutely.
But God put something on you Sunday, and I've just been hearing people praise the Lord for it since then. Just a great word, inspired, just motivated word. And what I wanted to do is bring you in and just let you pour some of that out on some of our truth seekers that listen, radio programs or on the internet or even just around the world.
Right.
And
right.
What God's put on your heart.
Right.
So kind of get us started with this message God's put on you.
Well, first of all, when the Lord first revealed this to me, it was through personal means. I was just really seeking the Lord about my past and the things that I went through in the past. And, you know, I was always somewhat allowed the devil to condemn me and deceive me into believing that I wasn't that 2 Corinthians 5:17. I wasn't that new creation.
Right.
Those old things haven't really passed. So I was seeking out the Word of God for that. And, you know, God revealed a couple of things to me. He said, Chuck, He said, you have to know that the Lord knew that you was an already blood-bought child of God long before you ever knew that, before you ever stepped into your rightful position. The Lord already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the past, God can use and has used and will use. And so when I was seeking out the Word, I looked at Luke 4, and it's where Jesus stood up right after He came out of the wilderness of being tempted. And He said, and I said, and this is what the Lord revealed to me. He said, Christ himself said, I came to set the oppressed and those in prison free. Mm-hmm. And I came to give sight to the blind. And I was like, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, that's me. You know, that's all of us in a lot of ways. And the Lord revealed a lot of things to me concerning my past, because I got to tell you something. Not that you don't know, but the listeners don't know. You know, I myself lived a life of rebellious living, self-inflicted wounds, did a lot of things, lived for myself for so many years. And after I came to my salvation and I was serving the Lord, you know, you begin a spiritual battle right then and there. The devil wants back what he thought he had once owned.
Amen.
And so therefore I started seeking the word. And the word of God told me this in 2 Corinthians 1:3. He says, the God of all comforts will comfort us through our trials and tribulations, so that the comfort that he comforted us with, we could turn around and comfort others.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I read that, it inspired me, because all that was telling me was the things that I go through in my life, whether good or bad, God's going to use me and he's going to strengthen me in order to overcome those. So when someone else is going through the same things that I went through, I could comfort those.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was reading that word, I looked in that word and I was thinking, I was meditating on it, I was praying on it, and God said, you know what? I don't comfort you with a sort of sympathy type of comfort. Sympathy weakens rather than strengthens. The Greek word, and I learned this, the Greek word for comfort is come alongside of and help. It's the exact same word that used to describe the Holy Spirit in John 14-16, the comforter.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I don't want to skip past what you said before you started explaining that Greek word that we find here.
Okay.
What you said was the comfort that God gives us isn't sympathy was the word you used. But can you kind of explain that a little more? Because I believe that there's a lot of people that, I don't want them to get past that, because I think some of us stay in the place where we think God is like this granddad up in heaven. That's saying, that's my poor little boy down there, pats us on the head.
That's exactly what I shared the other day, and exactly what the Lord revealed to me. He's not patting us on the head, offering us a piece of candy or a toy to distract our attention from the things that we're going through. He comforts us through the Holy Spirit. Examples is that, you know, when you're reading your word, God comforts us if we're sick, if we're going through some struggles of sickness. We want to stand on 1 Peter 2:24. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Matthew 8:17, he bore our sickness and carried away our diseases. We want to stand on those. Those give us comfort and strength and hope that this is the God that we serve, and he's going to do the very things that he said that he's going to do, and therefore we draw comfort from that. So when I was reading in the scripture several places after battling, thinking that, you know, how can I be this person that I am today in comparison to the person that I once was, God was continuing to reveal things to me, and that's when he took me to Psalms 139. But go ahead.
Yeah, what I wanted to bring out was a couple of things. As in the role of the chaplain, you know, a lot of you listeners may not know, but I get to some of my many other duties is I get to be a hospice chaplain. And I say I get to do it. It is a benefit. It is a privilege and honor to be allowed into the lives of some of these folks in this stage of their life, where if the world ever could pinpoint a time in our life where we're just we're totally being taken advantage of by death, by sickness, or so it would seem from the outside, then that would be the time. I mean, a lot of times it's cancer, stage 4 cancer, or something like a disease like ALS or Alzheimer's. It's very far down the road. And you would think that these people are in a hopeless spot. And so here comes me, a man in flesh, and a lot of times I'm walking into these people's homes, and I'm the one that's supposed to be coming to help with comfort. Right. And I feel so helpless. And I get out of the car. A lot of times I'm walking up to a door of a home where someone's dying. Family members are already grieving, even though they're not dead yet. They're already starting to grieve because they know it's coming. And they've called the chaplain. And I feel so overwhelmed by that situation. And I walk up to that door. And before I get there, I pray, Lord, something like this. If you don't do something, I'm not going to be a benefit. How do I benefit this situation? I don't even know what to say or do. You know, even though I've been doing this for a couple of years now, I still feel that way. But here's what happens, where sometimes the best we can do is me pat you on the leg and say, Chuck, I love you. I'm here with you, man, and things are going to be okay. That may be true, but those are just words.
Right.
But where I can just give words, God, the Holy Spirit, comes alongside us. And that's what that word comfort means. It paints the picture of a lawyer in the courtroom where I'm on trial and I'm overwhelmed by the situation. I don't understand the ins and outs of the law. There's this big highfalutin judge and this, you know, prosecuting attorney, and I feel like the smallest guy in the room. But then this advocate steps beside me that understands the law, that understands about my situation better than I do legally, and he knows the right words, the right verbiage. He knows when to talk and when not to, when to stand up, when to come to my aid. He has all of that already built inside him. All I have to do is stand there.
Right.
And
right.
my advocate comes alongside me and he does what I cannot do.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Right.
When we talk about the God of comfort, he's coming alongside of our life. And we're talking about your past, my past. Here's the thing we all have in common. We've all got one.
Absolutely.
All of us got a past. Every listener out there right now, something's coming to your mind even right now when you're thinking about that thing in your past.
That's right.
And when that stuff comes up and condemnation seeps in, or what you thought you had defeated starts working on your emotions again, and you're at a loss, that's where 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 comes
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Because it tells us that he comforts us in all our tribulations.
That's right.
With that comfort, that coming alongside, that one of these days we can turn around and comfort someone else with.
Right.
And that's what's so powerful about this. God doesn't just lift us out of the miry pit, that deep, dark pit, just so we don't have to be in the dark anymore.
Right.
He gives us a mission to go forward and to offer someone that same kind of comfort.
That's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, and I believe when the Lord pulls us out of those trials and tribulations and through that comfort, it gives us such great hope, such great desire to in recognizing that it was God himself who did it. And it wasn't no means of any worldly things that got you out of that.
Right.
It wasn't your mother, it wasn't your brother, it wasn't anyone that you knew, friends or family. Any of it. It was God, because you called out to him. And I believe this, that sometimes God will allow us to go through those things for one reason. So we will call out of him, mm-hmm. out for him, so he can deliver, so he will get the glory. It's about his glory. And if we can receive that and know that, more people would stop trying to receive deliverance in any other area and always seek the Lord. Sometimes I feel like God, I said, Lord, why? Because I see others struggling and they'll seek out other things. And no matter what our words may say to them, they're still going to do what they want to do.
Right.
It takes the Lord personally, mm-hmm. personally through the Spirit revealing these things to them. And all we can do is plant a seed and somebody else come along and water. And
yeah.
And it's up to God to give that increase. But I know this to be fact, that so many times, because of my past, because of the exact thing that I thought was so bad that God could never use me, God has used me to speak life into other mm-hmm. people. And because of what I had once lived, people gives people hope. It gives people hope because they're like, you know, here this guy is who went through these same things, these same trials and tribulations that I'm currently going through, and look at him and look what God's doing for him. It gives them that hope,
amen.
And courage that they can press on, and God can too for them do this exact same thing he did for me or you or anyone else.
God revealed something to me one time, and it's really right. It is what you're saying, but somehow when it came to me, it was like a light bulb time, you know. Mm-hmm. But here's I want to make a statement and then we'll discuss it, but it's what you're saying already. But it's this, I believe that in one way or another, we will never leave our besetting sins. Okay, now let's say that. Some people may not understand besetting
right.
sins. I think everybody will relate to this immediately. There are certain tendencies in our life. A big word is proclivities, but tendencies, things that we seem to stumble to and fall to more easy than any other thing. For instance, in your past, you had a drug addiction.
Right, right.
I've never had a drug addiction.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've got some other issues that I struggle with. But when drugs have been around me, I never once had a desire to even try it.
Right, right.
Okay. But to the next guy, that may be something that they avoid. But when the Satan brings that temptation in just the right way, it's a besetting sin. It causes them to stumble easier than other things. Okay.
Right.
And we've all got those things.
That makes sense.
It may
right.
be one thing, two things. We've all got a few things that we stumble and fall to more easily than anything else.
Right.
And other sins that don't have effect on us at all. Some brothers struggle with with women and they've committed adultery.
Right.
And so that's always, that struggle with lust is always, I have no struggle with adultery,
right,
Chuck. I promise you, for two reasons. Number one, I'm afraid of my wife. That's the number one. I'm just kidding. But for the main reason, it's just never been an effect to me. But to the next brother, that may,
right,
that lust after another woman to the point that it drives them to act on it.
Right.
Okay, but let me get back to my statement. In one way or another, I don't think we ever leave our besetting sins. And here's what I mean when I say that. Either we will struggle in those sins and fall and get up and fall and get up, and they just knock us around and Satan uses them to kill us, or there'll come a day when the Holy Spirit delivers us from them. And even then, after He's delivered us from them and it's no longer something we struggle and fall to, at that time it becomes a mission field for us. So where before it was a sin that we struggle with personally, now that we're delivered from it, we don't leave the sphere of that sin, because now we're going to those that are still in that sin and wanting to help bring them out.
Right.
So one way or the other, we kind of maintain a contact with that sin. It may not be that it's something we fall to anymore, but now we have a compassion and a passion to go to those that are in that sin and say, look, there's a better way, man. God wants to take you out of this just the way he did for me.
Wow, yeah, you just spoke my language right there. And that makes so much sense on where my passion and desires come from as far as prison ministry and reaching out to those who are lost in their addictions. For that reason, what you just said. So now, as I'm sitting here listening to you and watching you, so much is going through my mind,
yeah,
to why I have the desires that I have.
Absolutely.
In this area. Now, I struggled with meth addiction for years. I mean, starting from I was 15 to I was 35, years of addiction to methamphetamines, fell to it, didn't want to do it for several years, but continued to fall to it, the exact same thing that you're sitting here talking about. And now that the Spirit has literally delivered me,
right,
from it, you couldn't put it in front of me. Actually, it would probably really offend me, and, you know, I would go the other way. I don't have a problem with it. I don't even want it to be around me or anyone that I love.
Amen.
And so that's where the desire within me comes from, is because I struggled for so many years with methamphetamines, which led me to prison, mm-hmm, more than one time. And therefore, I have such a desire to reach out to those who are still struggling in that sin, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world, I'm going to say most people in this world, do not really know how to receive true deliverance.
I agree with that.
Not only in that area, but any area of sin in our life. They don't know. They reach out for so many worldly things to receive deliverance,
yeah,
in whatever area, and they don't know the true source.
Yeah. The reason they don't know is because there's even less people telling.
Yep. Mentoring or discipling.
The true and only way for any success in this world. And I've seen this in you. Here's what I've seen, listeners and Chuck, when you've been a meth addict or any other addict,
right,
you can identify a meth addict from across the room.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about my own ability,
right,
but can you do that?
Absolutely.
You don't have to talk with them. You can just watch the way they're acting and know that they've got a bondage there.
Absolutely.
And so let me ask you this, and you and I didn't discuss this beforehand, so this is kind of off the cuff.
Right.
10 years ago, if you were to see that guy across the room, certain thoughts or feelings may come through your mind. When you see that guy across the room today, you don't know him, but you see it on him. What goes through your heart and mind where that person's concerned?
They're in bondage. They're lost. They're hurting, for one, and they don't even realize it. And the sad part about them not even realizing it, David, is most of them who are addicted to meth, and I can't speak for anything else, but I can speak for meth. Most of them who are addicted to meth, they don't want out. They have such a stronghold on their life to that addiction that it's hard for them to break that, and they don't even want to be delivered from that. So it's hard to reach out to anyone who don't want to be reached. It's hard to speak to anyone who don't want to be reached. And that's,
yeah,
why I love the Lord just taking our feet right out from underneath us, breaking us, taking us to a point of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, I've quoted Matthew 5:3, since you've known me. Blessed is the poor in spirit, because God has to take us to that place of being broke. So our spirit is broken, poverty, poor, for us to even desire. Because I was so lost in my addiction, I didn't want to be saved until God broke me. And when I was broke, I realized and recognized that it was the addiction. It was the stronghold of that bondage, of that sin, of addiction, of meth addiction, that had me so lost for so many years. So yeah, I desire to get up and go speak to that person, and you know, but more so desire to go speak to them. I want them in a place to where they want to be saved, and mainly being either rehabs or jails or prisons, because at that place right there, their spirit is broke, and and they're willing to listen to what you got to say, and it may be that very spot, and 99.9% of the time it will be a spot like that, that they are willing to receive what you have to say, and then they can see, you know, that maybe they give them hope through what God has done for you in your life.
You get to a place where you are honestly saying, whatever it takes.
Right.
I'm done with, I'm done. I've reached the end of myself. I can't do this. And then it's only in that place, though, that you realize there is really only one option.
Only one option.
Yeah.
It is that exact place. Because here's the deal. Going through things like that, you've tried just about everything else in this world that you can try.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, some people were brought up in church, read the Bible, you know, and may have backslidden or whatever. In my case, I'd never read a Bible, prayed, or been in a church till I was 35 years old. But I knew I didn't need a preacher to tell me, because when I was at that broken spot and I looked up and I said, God, for the first time in my life, the God that I heard everyone else speaking about, I said, God, the Spirit of the Lord ministered to me in a way I've never. And I believe, David, at that point in time, that spirit of addiction was broke in my life. I believe right then and there. Now, I was incarcerated. I couldn't get to it, but there's no doubt in my mind, I was at a place and I felt so much lifted off of me. And I haven't been the same since.
Because at that moment, you were placed into Christ.
Amen.
And that's what that verse tells us, that because we're in Christ, all things are passed away. There's the old man is dead.
That's right.
And all things have become new.
Wow. You know, and that's why I love the Word of God, man. It speaks such life into your spirit, man. And I'm telling you, when you get into it and you really allow God to do what only he can do in your life, and you read his word, you start to realize and see that, you know, you are that new person, and old things have passed and all things have become new. Not all things. And I say this all the time. I try to tell people so many times, it's not all things except your addiction.
Come
not
on.
All things except your abusive hands on your wife or children. Not all things except your alcohol problem or even your eating problem.
Right.
He has literally delivered you from all things.
Right.
You are that new creation. All things, brother, have passed. And when people can accept, believe, and receive that Christ is the only sufficient way to break that bondage of sin in your life, then and only then can they be that new creation that 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about.
Amen. Now, here's what I want to do. We've got about 5 minutes left in this show. And first of all, we've just started on this. So we've got a lot of stuff that I want to cover. But we began at the beginning of the show, you kind of alluded to the fact that this word was placed in your heart because you look back over your past.
Right.
And you saw all manner of things that, you know, you're willing to talk about nowadays because it's a testimony.
Right.
But it's not something you're necessarily proud of.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But that stuff is there nonetheless.
Right.
So what do Christians do when they're having trouble moving forward in Christ because they're still stuck in the past, whether that was past before Christ or maybe past that they've committed even since they got saved.
Right.
But they're hung on past.
Right.
And you mentioned the fact that God knew about that past.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
go
right.
ahead.
And well, that's what led me to Psalms 139.
Okay.
Which is an awesome scripture, because I was, you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, Lord, how is it possible for me to be the person that I am today? And you know, and I know you've given me that new heart, but I always allowed my past to continue to haunt me. I say haunt. I allow the devil to condemn me, to make me, deceive me, to believe that I wasn't that person. And then, you know, when I got to 2 Corinthians, when I got to Psalms 139 and I started reading, when I got to verse 13, I read, you want me to go ahead and read this
real
quick?
Yeah, let's read it out. Yeah,
all right, it says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body.
Yeah.
All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass.
Amen.
And that's when I, you know, when we first started off, I said, you know, we have to get to a point to where we can believe this, that we were already blood-bought children of God long before we knew it, long before we stepped into that rightful position. God knew who would accept and believe and receive in what Christ did on the cross long before we did. And that's why in the last verse, verse 16, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. And all that did is give me a lot of inspiration to why I went through the exact things that I went through. Mm-hmm. God had known that I would do the exact things that I did. He also knew that I would accept his son as my personal savior one day. So the things that I did in the past, God used those for that 2 Corinthians 1:3. He comforted me. He got me through those things. So one day he said, Chuck, one day you will be a spokesperson. For the past, for the things that you had done in the past, I'm going to allow you to go and speak to others, and through you, that's why I tell people, don't ever think that you were saved. You came to your salvation for yourself.
Amen.
That right there is the most ridiculous thing.
Selfish.
The Word of God tells us that we are to go and make disciples of many nations. It's through our life, even our life of rebellion in our past life. It's through that life that God had created us, molded us into the men and women that He molded us into for that purpose. For the glory of God. That's why I love the scripture in John 9 where the disciple says, you know, Lord, this man was blind. Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And the Lord said it was neither. It was for the glory of God. You got to know that God allows things for one reason. It's for his glory.
Amen. And because that scripture says those days are ordained.
Right.
He set up divinely appointed opportunities and days where we never saw it coming, but then all of a sudden, what we were in the past, he's revolutionized into a minister of God and ordained your path to cross with that other person that he wanted to see somebody, a trophy of grace just like you, that could speak the name of Jesus and what happened to them before and what they are now, and that person look and say, man, if God could take that person that you were and turn you into what you are today, then he can do that for me too.
That's right.
Because the Word tells us he's not a respecter of person.
I love it.
And what he's done for you, my friend, he will do for me. Not because he's trying to make robots and this person just like this person, but because the opportunities he wants to give look very similar. He wants freedom for you.
Right.
He wants freedom for me. And it only comes through Christ.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
The cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus
That's
first.
Right. That's Jesus first.
Jesus only.
Only.
Jesus always.
Always. That's right. Ron.
So can you come back next week?
Absolutely.
I think we got to continue this conversation.
Okay.
There's some other scriptures we need to hit on. I think we're just getting started.
Right, absolutely. We're just getting started.
All right.
It's good to be here.
So until next week, truth seekers, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.